Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmir Salashan class learning. On this morning, 10 of this class will be thematic to Inyani Dioma. Yesterday, of course, was our mournful day of Tisha B'Av, and even though Tisha B'Av is infamous for the destruction of Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni and so many calamities, and we mourn all tzaros really that have befallen our people because of Galus, the reality is that the Beis Hamikdash was set afire Tisha B'Av very late in the day. It burned through the night, and the main burning was on Yud Av. And there's, in fact, one opinion in the Gemara that maybe we should be fasting on 10th Av and not 9th Av, because the Beis Hamikdash was set aflame on 9th Av very late in the day. And that is why the restrictions continue to Chatzos 1:01 p.m. Who else is dreaming about starting the laundry? Oh my gosh, right? So my husband made a bracha because last night I would have been up till 2 o'clock in the morning with the machines. So we are going to be learning Minyani Dioma, of course, related to Shmir Salashon. Let's begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur, please. Ribono Sha'olam, Yiratzom Fenech Al Racham Vechanin, Shetizekeni Haim Vechoyom Mishmar Pi Ulishani Milashon Har Rechilus, Vezarm the Dabar Fil Alish Yachid Vekolish Kena Klaisal. O achelik mechem, v'kolsh kein l'Yisraim amidosav shalkolsh baruchu. Ve'ezarm le'dabar devrei sheker chanufa mecholkes kas gaivo naz tvarim habanas panim leitzanus v'chol dibur asr. V'zakini shlo le'dabar kim dabar hatzarich l'inyane gufi v'nafshi. V'yu kol ma'asai v'diburai l'shem shamayim halavai amein. We are learning Lilui Nishmaso and Lezechon Nishmaso Tzvi Gershon Ben Yoel Vachan Alav Hashem. May his neshama have a continuous aliyah in the zechus of the Torah we'll share this morning and in the zechus of his family's dedication to the Harbatzos HaTorah that emanates from this shir for all these years. Also is a zechus for aliyah neshama for Zev Wolf Ben Yeshaya Alav Hashem. May his neshama have an aliyah in the zechus of this Torah. And with Alyssa's gracious permission is a continued refuah for Brach Avigail Bas Rachavita. We thank Alyssa Axrod and her family very, very much for the zchus of learning this year together and their generous sponsorship. So we last time met and we learned about Bamidbar, and we saw how we finished really our journey through Bamidbar through the lens of Shmir Salashon. And what's very interesting is that now we come to Devarim. This past Shabbos we opened up Sefer Devarim because Devarim is always read Erev Tisha B'Av, always. Many reasons why Devarim is read Erev Tisha B'Av. The primary one is that the sin of the spies is recalled by Moshe and recounted and relayed by Moshe and Devarim. The sin of the spies is well led to Tisha B'Av of the generations. But I just thought that it was very, very interesting that Devarim words, Devarim literally means words. Words, we speak about words, Erev Tisha B'Av, because the ultimate root of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, both by Bayis Rishon and by Bayis Sheni, like the Gemara tells us, was Lashon Hara. So I thought that was just interesting. Devarim words is always the introduction to Tisha B'Av. So I'm going to go to screen share. For those who just joined, Aoha, I made a bracha before I started the share. Okay, could you see my screen? Yeah, okay, thank you very much. So let me move you up here because I'm going to be doing some Rashi. So this is Parshas Devarim. Remember, this morning is Yud Av, and the most of the burning of the Churban Beis Hamikdash occurred late in the day, Tisha B'Av, through the night of Yud Av, through the morning of Yud Av, which is why till 1:01 p.m. today, Chatzos, the restrictions are not yet lifted. Okay, so Moshe says to the Bnei Yisrael, Devarim is Moshe's goodbye letter and soliloquy to Am Yisrael. If you could see here, this is Perak Al Pasuk of Beis. V'tikruvuna lai kulchem v'toru nishlecha nashim ufaneinu v'yachbru lanu asar. So Moshe is remembering and bringing to mind the story of the spies that happened 38 and a half years earlier, which we read about in Parsha Shlach. And you all approached me and you said, we should send men before us and they should scout out the land and they'll bring us back word v'yeshivu arasanu davar on the way that we should ascend and what are the cities like. So Moshe thought it was a good idea. I just want to close, might be distracting the trees behind me. 1 second. Maybe that's a cleaner for you. Vayita ba'inai hadavar, the matter was good in my eyes, and I took 12 men, one man per tribe, and they turned and they went up to the mountain and they came to Nachal Eshkol. Rashi says, because in the future they would take a cluster of grapes. Vayarglu, also they scattered out the land from the word regel. They walked through the land to scatter it out, and they took from the fruit of the land and they brought it back down to us. They brought us back word And they said, Tova ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokeinu, no saying that, you know, the land is good. But you did not want to go up. But Tamruz pi Hashem Elokeichem, you rebelled against the word of Hashem, your God. And Pasuch of Zayin, vater ganu ba'olechem. What is that strange word? Vater ganu ba'olechem. What does that mean? Vatomu, and you said, Besinas Hashem Osanu, because God hates us. With hatred of God towards us, He took us out of the land of Egypt. Laseis Osanu biyad ha'amori l'hashmideinu. He wants to put us into the hands of the Amorim to destroy. So what is Vater Ganu Ba'ohalechem? So let's see what Rashi says. So Rashi tells us, which I'm putting on the screen right now. Rashi tells us, Beferush, Lashon Hara. What did they sit in their tents and they do? They sat in their tents and they spoke Lashon Hara. V'chein divrei nirgan. And Rashi quotes a pasuk from Mishle, words of nirgan. What is nirgan? Adam hamotzi diba. It's a person. This root word means to speak Lashon Hara, to bring forth words that are negative. So we know that the sin of the spies was the sin of Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, and furthermore about the Ribbono Shel Olam. What did they say about Hashem? Besinas Hashem Osanu. God hates us so much, and therefore He took us out of Egypt to give us into the hands of the Amorim to destroy us. And Rashi says, "Vuhu haya ohev eschem." You think God hates you? You think everything He did for you, Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf and Man and Mechamas Amalek? You think Hashem hates you? Hashem loves you, but you aval atim sonim oso. You hate Him. Mashal hedyot. There's a saying that goes, "Ma debili bach al richimach, ma debili be alach." What's in your heart about your friend is really so you project to him about you. So you're saying God hates you, but the truth of the matter is, Rachmana Letzan, you have a hatred, so to speak, of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore you project that onto him. So they spoke Lashon Hara in their tent. So I'm going to stop screen sharing, and then I'm going to come back to it soon. Okay? So we see that the root of the sin of the spies was v'terganu ba'olaychem b'sinas Hashem hosianu mitzrayim laseis osanu biyad ha'amorim l'hashmideinu. And Rashi says b'feresh that they were speaking Lashon Hara. I saw yesterday a very short video clip by Rav Elimelech Biderman, who added a chiddush that I had not heard before. It's going to be a chiddush onto something that I have said before, but he adds a new dimension that I had not heard before that I want to share with you. So the Gemara tells us very famously, Maseches Gittin, Nun Hei through Nun Vav, the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. So I know you're all familiar with the story, but I'm going to again add a chiddush. So the Gemara tells a story about Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, De Kamsa Var Kamsa Charva Yerushalayim, because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, Jerusalem was destroyed. There was a man who had a friend named Kamsa and an enemy named Bar Kamsa. Some say that this is father and son. Bar means son in Aramaic, like Bar Mitzvah means Ben Mitzvah in Hebrew. Okay, there was a man who had a friend and an enemy. He told the servant, go bring my friend Kamsa to the party. The servant made a mistake and he brought Bar Kamsa to the party. The man's walking the party floor. He's one of the, you know, Jerusalem aristocrats, and all the prominent rabbanim are at the party, we know. And very famous guests and important people. And he sees Bar Kamsa and he says, what are you doing here? Since you are my enemy, get out. So Bar Kamsa says, well, I'm going to pay for my food. Just please don't throw me out. Whatever I eat, I'm going to pay. The host said no. So Bar Kamsa said, I'll pay for half the party. So the host said no. So he said, I'll pay for the entire party. I'm going to cover all your costs. He said no. He took him by the hand and he threw him out. Bar Kamsa said, since the rabbis were there and they did not protest, Shtika Koda, the Gemara does not say that, I'm adding that in, science is acquiesce, since it must be they agree with the behavior of the host. And he said, I'm going to inform the emperor that the Jews are rebelling. So he goes to the emperor Kesar and he says, the Jews are rebelling against you. So the emperor says, how do you know? So Bar Kamsa said, send them an animal to offer as an offering on the altar. Let's see if they offer the offering. So the emperor sent a fine calf, C-A-L-F, and he sent it with Bar Kamsa as the emissary. Along the way, Bar Kamsa made a blemish in the animal. And here comes the chiddush that Rav Biderman said. Maybe some of you heard it said like this. I didn't tell yesterday. So Bar Kamsa made a blemish on the animal on the way to bring it up to the Beis HaMikdash to the Kohanim. So where did he make the blemish? So some say it was on the lip, and some say it was on the white of the eye. But the Gemara adds a clause. Some say it was on the lip, where they don't count it as a blemish, but we do. Meaning for the Goyim, they don't count it as a blemish on an animal. They would still offer the korban, the offering, with a blemish on the lip. But we count it as a blemish, meaning that's considered a mum, and now the animal is pasul to be makriv as a korban. Rav Ali Melech Biderman said, what is this clause in the Gemara? So I already shared this last week, and I'm sure some of you may have heard it, that blemish on the lip stands for the Lashon Hara we spoke that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and blemish on the eye stands for the Tsarus Ayin, the stinginess of eye that causes the Lashon Hara that Am Yisrael had for each other, and therefore there was Sinas Chinim. If you don't see each other with an Ayin Tova, you have Tsarus Ayin, an Ayin Ra, stingy Ayin, bad eye, that leads to Sinas Chinim. Sinas Chinim led to the destruction of the temple. That's how the spies saw Eretz Yisrael. They didn't see with an ayin tova. They saw with tsarus ayin. They didn't speak positively. They spoke negatively about the land. So these two blemishes, blemish of the lip and blemish of the eye, go all the way back to the first Tisha B'Av in the desert when the spies spoke bad about the land because they saw bad about them. Now Biderman said, what does that part of the Gemara mean? He made a blemish on the lip, Bar Kamsa, of this fine calf in a place where they, meaning the Goyim, do not count it as a blemish, but we do. So Rabbi Biderman said, and I quote, it was very short, it was like 2.5 minute clip. Rabbi Biderman said, quote, the Ummos Ha'olam think murder only happens with the sword. They don't count it as a blemish on the lip. But we know that murder happens with the lips, with the words too. Therefore, we count it as a blemish. So Bar Kamsa made a blemish on the lip. The blemish on the lip represents Lashon Hara, which was the chait of the spies, like we just saw with her Ganu Ba'aleichem, V'tomu B'sinas Hashem Motziyam Mitzrayim, L'seisus Ana B'yalai Amorim L'ashmideinu, which led to the Darkin Zad Zebra Charvotcha B'lashonim of the first temple, which led to the Sinas Chinim of destruction of the second temple. But what is clean, they don't count it as a blemish, and we do count it as a blemish. Sad of Ali Melech Biderman Shlita to the Ummos Ha'olam, they think that murder only happens with the sword. They don't count it as a blemish. Am Yisrael understands it is a blemish because we can kill someone, Rachmana Litzlan, with our words as well, with a blemish on the lip. And for this, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. You know that the Gemara so famously tells us, the Pasuk says in Shlach, Midbar Perek Yedad Pasuk Alpha, Vatisa Kol Eda, Vayitnu Es Kolam, they gave forth their voice. Vayivkuam Balai Lahu. Think about that Pasuk. Vatisa Kol Eda, Vayitnu Es Kolam, Vayivkuam Balai Lahu. What's the difference between the first and the second half of a Pasuk? Why do you need the first half of a Pasuk? It should just say, Vayivkuam Balai Lahu. 14.1 is after the report of the spies. So you already got all the bad reports. Now you're sitting and crying. The Gemara could still say, Atem b'chisim b'chir shachinim, ani kovei lechem b'chir adoros, in tiny schaf tesaf. What is the beginning of the pasuk? Vatisa kol ida. Everyone lifted up. They all become hysterical together. Vayitnu es kolam. What does that mean, vayitnu es kolam? And they gave forth their voice. Just tell me, vayiv kuam, balai lohu. What were they all doing? They were all slandering in their tents. Vatisukali, that together they lifted themselves up, not in a positive way, to a place of hysteria. Vayitnu eskom, they're all speaking now, Lashon Hara, about A, Eretz Yisrael, and B, the Ribbono Hashem. And that led to their crying. And that crying, says the Gemara, led to Atem b'chisim b'chir shachinam, ani kovei lechem b'chir l'doros. Because you cry for no reason. You were lifting each other up in a negative way. Tisa kolayda, all together, you got together with a place of hysteria. Vayitnu eskom, you all gave forth your voice, which Moshe clarifies in this week's parasha, last week's parasha, Vaterganu ba'aleichem, that's what you did. You all gave forth your voice in hysteria. In Lashon Hara, we saw Rashi b'feirush. Therefore, vayivku ha'am b'layla hu, therefore, the Gemara says, also leila erev leil tusha ba'avaya, amar kodesh baruch hu, atem b'chisim b'chir shachinim, ani kovei lechem b'chir doros. I don't know if anybody watched the Rav Palm Zatzal video that was, there were many, many videos that were available for watching on Tisha B'Av. So honestly, I just watched the first 10 minutes or so of the Rav Palm video. Did anyone else watch it from the people that I could see? No? But one, in the first like 10 minutes, they spoke about Rav Palm Zatzal's Ahavas Yisrael. He was a Kohen. The path of Arna Kohen, Oev Shem Verodev Shem, Oev Hesabrius Makarv in the Torah. And one thing that they said, that truly epitomized who Rav Palm was and the founding of Shuvu, they said, did it matter who the person, who the Jew was, or what his background, or where he came from? He just loved every Jew. And one of the things they said, Befreyosh, about Rav Palm, that tells that he never, ever spoke a word of Lashon Hara. And why? Because he had so much Ahavas Yisrael that he saw no negative. There was no Tsarus Ayin, and therefore there was no blemish on the lip, because he had boundless love for every single Jew, and they attributed it to his mother. Rav Palm would say about his mother, that she never spoke negatively about another Jew because she loved every Jew so much. She had nothing negative that she saw and therefore nothing negative to speak. So in the few minutes, it was over an hour video, in the few minutes that I just watched, this is one of the things that they spoke about, is boundless ahavas Yisrael, and therefore he never spoke Lashon Hara, and that's what destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Unfortunately, Rachman al Islam, the boundless sinas chinam led to the blemish of the lip. Remember with Bidim, and they don't consider it a blemish. They don't think that words can kill. We do consider it a blemish. We understand that words can bring so much destruction, which is why we're still in mourning, essentially, till Chatzos, being that it is Yerav, and we're going to still be in mourning till Mashiach comes, ultimately, because words can kill. I want to go back to screen share now and go back to Devarim. So, interestingly, I want you to pay attention. Could you see that I went back here? Thank you. So, what we saw is they slandered in their tent, they spoke Lashon Hara in their tent, and they said, because God hates us, we already saw Rashi in this pasuk, he took us out from the land of Egypt to give us in the hands of the Amori, the Hashmideinu. So I want to focus on that, because you know my fascination with Shorashim in Lashon HaKodesh. It's very interesting. It doesn't say Biyad HaKena'anim, Biyad HaYevusi, Biyad HaChivi, HaChiti, HaPrizi, HaGirgashi. Specifically, the Seish Dosan of Biyad HaEmori Ashkmedenu. So, since if you learn with me, and you know I love to focus on Shorashim and Lashon HaKodesh, your mind already might be going where my mind went. And of course, what is the Shorash of this nation, Emori? So, I saw Esti say, because I can't see, I could happen to see you on the screen right now. That is the word Aleph Memrish. The Emor is to say something. So, just keep that in mind. So, they don't want to go up to Eretz Yisrael. I'm skipping the Psukim. I'm going ahead to Pasuk Mem. Okay, so Hashem says, you're not going in. So what should they do? Pnu lachem, turn, usu'u hamidbar, journey to the desert, derech yamsuf. In other words, you were going on a straight path. Moshe says to Yisro and Bahaloscha, in 3 days we're going to be in Eretz Yisrael. Then comes Shlach, and Hashem says, oh, no more 3 days. It's going to be 38 and a half years. Turn around and go back. Batanu v'tomu, so you answered and you said, wait, Eli, you said to me, Chatanu l'Hashem, now we say we sin. It's too late. Now you think you sin. Chatanu l'Hashem, anachnu na'ala, we'll go up. Hashem already said you're not going up. V'nechamnu, we'll fight, like everything that Hashem our God commanded us. And you girded your vessels for war, and you start to go up the mountain. And I said to you, lo ta'alu, so what happens? Hashem says, don't go up, turn back. Why do they say, oh, we made such a mistake, we love Eretz Yisrael, we're going to really go do what Hashem says. So they gird themselves for war, and they start to ascend the mountain. And God said to me, say to them, lo sa'alu, do not go up. It's not the time to make aliyah. I'm not with you. Don't fight with the Canaanite nations. I'm not with you anymore. You'll not be able to cut down your enemies. You will be cut down before your enemies. So much as I spoke to you, I told you, and you didn't listen. And once again, v'tamrus pi Hashem. And once again, you rebelled against the word of Hashem. V'tazidu v'talu ha'ara. And you were rebellious, and you were bent on going up, even though I told you not to go up. And you ultimately decided, we're going to go up and conquer Israel. V'yetze ha'amori, pay attention to this pasuk. V'yetze ha'amori. The Amori came out, Hayoshe Bahar, who dwell on this mountain, to meet you, and they chased you. Kasher Tasena Hadivorim. Do you see this whole pasuk? The Amori came out of the mountain, so I see Esti smiling, to chase after you, like the Devorim do, the bees. Very strange. Vayaksu aschem b'seir ad charma, and they struck you at seir to charma. Pasuk mem hey, v'tashuv v'tuvchu lefnei Hashem. You just sat down, and now you're crying even more before Hashem. V'lo sham Hashem b'kochem, v'lo izin aleichem. Rav Soloveitchik quotes that pasuk mem hey, because another reason why we read Devarim before Tisha B'Av, that is a condition of Hester Panim, the concealment of the Divine Presence, Kaviyachal, Rachman al-Otzlan, Lo Aleinu. We sat and we cried and we daven. Hashem did not listen to us. Hashem did not pay attention to us. Therefore, Vateshu B'Kodesh Yamim Rabim Kayim M'Shar Yishavtim. And therefore, we sat in Kodesh for many years because we weren't going up to Eretz Yisrael. So I want to talk about Pasuk Mem Dalid, Vayetze Ha'amori HaYoshev Bahar. Remember, Moshe warns, our Lashon Hara about God was, he hates us, to give us in the hands of the Amori to destroy us. So what taka happens? Hashem says, don't go up. They decide they're going up. God says, I'm not with you. Vayetze ha-emori. The emori came out who dwell in the mountain to meet you, and they chased you like the devorim do. So in this pasuk, we have the shorash emor, and we have the shorash daber. And you know, you can't make these things up. I have a friend who used to learn with me, and she, Baruch Hashem, she got married a second time later in life, and she moved to the place where her husband was from. So she used to learn with me in person years ago, but sometimes she would say in a class, you can't make this stuff up. And it always stuck in my mind, Yocheva Goldberg, because it's true. You can't make certain things up. I mean, I'm not making up what's going on in this pasuk. Vayetze ha-emori kasher tasena ha-devorim. So what's going on here? So Rashi says, kasher tasena ha-devorim, what is this allusion to the fact that the emori came out to greet you and to attack you like bees, B-E-E-S? What are we talking about here? So you see Rashi in this part of the screen, kasher tasena ha-devorim. Ma ha-devora ha-zos, just like this devora, kishehi ma'ka esa adam miyad meisa, when a bee stings this person, it immediately dies. Af heim, also them, kishehayu nogim b'char miyad meisim. So to the Amori, when they would touch you, they would immediately die. So what does it mean that the Amori struck you like the bees? Just like a bee strikes someone and immediately dies, so to the Amorim would immediately die. So first I want to quote from Aleinu l'Shabeach, which is her Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita. Someone just told me they're having a problem with Zoom. Is it just her, she asked. Is anyone having a problem with Zoom? The other people? The people I could see are nodding no. There's most people that I can't see. If anyone's having a problem with the Zoom, could you please put it on the chat for me? No, you're saying, from South Africa. Okay, so it's working for South Africa, Baruch Hashem. So the person who just messaged me, I'm not near my phone. It happens to come up on my MacBook. But it seems to be that it's just her. I'm going to tell her. Again, my phone is not near me. The messages come up on my Mac, which is what I'm using to teach. Okay, Paul, I see you're back. Everyone else said it's fine for them, so I don't know. Okay, sorry, I'm not sure what's wrong. So first I'm going to quote Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita on this pasuk, kasher ta'asena ha-dovrim, so devorim. So Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, a posek, a gadol, and a dayan in Bnei Brak, says as follows, okay? Very piercing insight, and keep in mind, okay, his insight is not related to Shmir Salashan. After Rav Zilberstein, I'm going to go back to Shmir Salashan to present an alternative interpretation, but it is related to Tisha B'Av and Golos, because it's about how our enemies attack us, and it's come to fruition one too many a time because of our mourning, our Churban, and our Golos. So Rav Zilberstein says, "Vayirdvu aschem kasher tasana hadavarim." The Amori chased after you like the bees do. Rashi comments, "Excuse me, just as this bee, when it strikes, i.e., stings, it immediately dies. So too the Amori, when they would touch you, they would immediately die." So Rav Zilberstein quotes the great Brisker Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zevalevi Salvechek Zecher Tzadik Livracha. The Brisker Rav noted an apparent discrepancy between the verse and Rashi's explanation of the verse. The verse seems to be emphasizing the Amori attack against the Jewish people by comparing it to an onslaught of bees. If anybody ever, chalila v'chas, disturbs a beehive or steps on a wasp nest, God forbid, Hashem Yirachem Aleinu, and are attacked by swarm, lo aleinu, the intensity of that attack is so severe that sometimes it could lead to, God forbid, death. So the pasuk seems to be saying, the Brisker Rav, that the bees attack you with such great strength. Rashi implies the attack was not very menacing because the Amori died as soon as they touched you, just like bees die. So what was it? Were the Amori onslaught very severe, like the pasuk seems to say, kasher tasena hadvarim, or was it very mild, like Rashi seems to say, as soon as they would even touch you, they would die. So which one is it? To explain this discrepancy, the Brisker Rav Zaksal explained that usually if a person knows that hitting another person will cause that person to hit back with added ferocious, he will shy away from hitting the other person or even going near him, because if you know that your attack will yield a very strong counterattack, so that enough is deterrence not to go near. He will certainly think twice before going on the onslaught. But even though the Amori knew they would die as soon as they touched the Jewish people, quote, So great was their hatred towards the Jews, they were not deterred from attacking them. The suicidal nature of the attack is what made it so intense and made it so menacing. Even though they knew they would die, they were not deterred from attacking us. They didn't care about their own death as long as it meant we could attack on Yisrael. The Torah is eternal, says Rav Zilberstein. And the Jewish people are eternal. That's exactly right, Sandy, here. So listen to what he says. The Torah is eternal. The Jewish people are eternal. And the Torah's description of our enemy's fight against us is also eternal. Just as the ancient Amori were willing to attack us, even at the cost of their own lives, so too, the Arabs today fight us in the same suicidal manner. Their desire to kill Jews, our enemy's desire to kill us, because of Gaulus, is so intense, they are willing to blow themselves into smithereens, I'm quoting from Aleinu L'Shabeach, just to harm us. When we realize the events that are happening today have already been described by the Torah, we can be comforted because we can know that the Torah's prophecy of consolation will be fulfilled as well. Remember, this is commentary to Devarim. Devarim is read every Tisha B'Av. This reminds me of the Gemara Makos of the Alam Abayz, the very last Amud in Maseches Makos, the story of Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues when they see Har Abayis in ruin and they see foxes prowling out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The colleagues are crying and Rabbi Akiva is laughing. They are crying because they see Churban. He's laughing because he says, I know if the prophecy of Churban came true, then the prophecy of Binyan will also come true. And Rav Zilberstein sees a similar message in this Pasuk. If we see how eternal the Torah is, and the enemies today attack us in the same way as the Amori attacked the Jews like bees thousands of years ago on their approach to Eretz Yisrael, then we can be sure if that is true, then the Nechama will also come true. The prakim of Nechama and the Geula and the promise of Reshavu Banim Legvulam will come true if we see the way that they attack us has also come true. So that's what Zilberstein has to say. However, I want to go back to the screen sharing now and show you just something very interesting that occurred to me when I was learning through the Parsha with Rashi on Shabbos. I never saw this pasuk or this Rashi in this light before, and sometimes I reiterate how important it is to relearn, and this is an example, because I'm relearning this Rashi, and I relearn it every year, Parshas Devarim, it struck me in a new way that I had not seen. So let's keep in mind, could you see my screen? I went back to the pasukim with Rashi, thank you. So remember, Pasuk of Zion, which is where we began Shir, Vater Ganu Ba'o Halechem, you slandered in your tents. We saw Rashi who says it means they spoke Lashon Hara. Vetomu, and you said, Bisinas Hashem Hotzi Alam Mitzrayim. God's hatred of us made him take us out of Egypt. Latet Otanu, the Seis Osana Biad Ha'emori, the Hashmidenu. To give us specifically, they use the term to describe the enemy who will meet them in the land of Israel as the Amori. And I found it very, very interesting and compelling because nothing in the Torah is an accident. That here we are told that the Jews spoke Lashon Hara. And they speak about the Amori who will come to attack them. Ultimately, the Amori do come to attack them because they try and make Aliyah, pun intended, very much without Hashem in their midst. And so Pasuk Mem Dala tells us, Vayetzi ha'amori ha'yoshev bahar, the Amori who you were so afraid of, who dwell in the mountain, came out to greet you. Not in a positive way, not saying Shalom Aleichem, have a drink, Vayirdavu Aschem, and they chased you, Ka'asher Tasana Hadavorim, like the bees do. We already saw Rashim, we saw Yitzchak Zilberstein, Vayaksu Aschem, they hit you, they give you a makkah, Beseir Archama. So I think it's very fascinating that they're worried about the Amori, Aleph Memrish, who in fact come out to meet them, and the Amori are compared to Devorim, Dalet Bezresh. The Amori, to say, are compared to those who speak l'daber. And again, to quote my friend Yocheva Goldberg, you can't make this stuff up because nothing in the Torah is an accident. Let's look at Rashi with a different approach. Kasher ta'asena ha-devorim. Ma ha-devora ha-zos, kishihi ma'ka esa adam biyad knesa, af heim kishayu no gimbechem biyad knesim. Just like this devora, when she strikes a man, she immediately dies. So too, when they touched you, they would immediately die. We're talking about the Amorim. Their whole Lashon Hara was the blemish in the lip. Remember of Eli Melech Biderman, the Goyim don't consider it a mum. We do, because Rabbi Nachman said, they don't know that you could kill with words, but we know you could kill with words. So forget the pshat of this. Forget the Amori, the nation. Forget the Devorim, the bees. Let's just look at it through the lens of Shemiras HaLashon. Maha Devora Hazos Kishihi Makas HaDamiyad Mesa. Just like this speech, these words, HaDevora Hazos, this Dalet Beis Reish, this Dibur, the whole Sefer is called Ela HaDevarim Asher Dibur Moshe. Devarim, words, always precedes Tisha B'Av. Maha Devora Hazos, just like these words, this Dibur, Kishihi Maka Asa Adam Miyad Mesa. When your Lashon Hara strikes a person, immediately there's death. Do you remember we learned a few months ago back in Maseches Erechin, Tesvav, we're still really technically on that Amud Gemara back there. We're going to go back when we finish the Inyan HaDayamim we'll be going through. But do you remember that Lashon Hara Beferish, the Gemara says, kills three. Lashon Hara brings death. It brings death to the speaker, it brings death to the listener, and it brings death to the subject. Says Rav Elimelech Biderman, what's the pshat of the Gemara? He made a blemish on the lip, then the Gemara takes a comment and says, they don't consider it a blemish, but we do. Says Rav Elimelech Biderman, they don't consider that death can come through speech. They think death comes through a sword. But we, Am Yisrael, knows that death, mum, is considered a blemish when it's on the lip, because you can kill with speech. So look at this Rashi. They're afraid of the Amorim. They're afraid of the Mida Kenegan Mida and the consequence of their Lashon Hara. They're afraid specifically of a nation that speaks. Who talk a Mida Kenegan Mida comes out to greet them? The Amori, the speakers. They don't say they're afraid of the Kenanim or the Prizi or the Vusi or the Chiti or the Girgashi. They say we're afraid of the Amorim. We're afraid of the consequences of our speech because Hashem is Modeid, B'Mida Shadam Modeid, Modedin Lo. We're afraid of Mida Kenegan Mida, and that's exactly what happened. What came out? Vayetze Ha'Amori, your words of Lashon Hara, that you spoke about God, they came out. That was your punishment. They came out to greet you. The words you projected against God and against Eretz Yisrael is ultimately what brought your downfall. The Amori came out, just like the Devorim. What does that mean? Maha Devora Hazo, says Rashi, just like these words, this speech, Kishihi Maka Esa Adam, when those words hit the person, they should never have been said in the first place. Miyad Mesa, immediately brings death. Af heim, so to them, kishahayu nogim bachem, when they would strike you, miyad kmesim. So we see that words kill the speaker, and they also kill the person spoken about. And Rahman al Salam, they also kill the subject. Eretz Yisrael was bereft for all those extra years because they spoke Lashon Hara. It killed the speaker, and it killed the listener. So look what Lashon Hara brings. I just want to see something in my Chumash, please. In my chumash, not on my screen. Yeah, it's the same. I just wanted to make sure that the Sifari, which I'm only using for teaching purposes, that's not where I learned chumash with Rashi from, was actually the correct portion of the Rashi. So I think that it's extremely powerful, and nothing in the Torah is an accident, nothing in the Torah is made up. Maha devara zos kishi makas adam biyad mesa, just like this speech, as soon as it hits a person, immediately it brings death. Af heim kishayu nogim b'chem yad mesim, even they would die when they would strike you. So who gets a blow of death? The person who stages the attack of words, the person who's on the receiving end of the words, and ultimately the subject who is spoken about. How powerful is our Torah? How timeless is our Torah? How multi-layered is our Torah? And how relevant is the theme of Shemiras HaLashon, which keeps appearing in every parsha, as we've been learning since Parshas Baha'alosha. And this was the whole cause of our galus, and this is our whole cause of our banishment from Eretz Yisrael back in the days of the Dor HaMidbar. And our whole cause of galus, it's the Sinas Chinam. Rav Pam, it was said about Rav Pam, he never spoke a word of Lashon Hara. Why? He had no Lashon Hara to speak because he had boundless Ahavas Yisrael. And he attributed it to his mother, Allah HaShem, who loved every Jew so much. She never saw the negative blemish on the eye. She never spoke the negative blemish on the lip. So the real root of Sinas Chinam is seeing the negative and speaking the negative. And it destroyed by Yis Rishon, it destroyed by Yisheni. Rechman al Tzan, here we are. Maha Devora Hazos Kishi Makas Adam Miyad Mesa. When that negative speech hits you, immediately it is a source and a cause of death. Furthermore, Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky Zatzal sees another fascinating allusion and lesson of Shemiras HaLashon in Parshas Devarim as well. So with that, I go back up to Pasuk Lamed Daled. Okay. Continuing the theme of Rosh Hashanah. So Moshe says to the Bnei Yisrael, I went back up to Pesach Dalet, Vayishma Hashem is called Divreichem, Vayiktov Vayishav Aleimer. Hashem heard the call Divreichem. Once again, we're focusing on the sound of the voice of the words. And he became angry and he took an oath and he said, none of this bad generation will see the good land that I swore to their forefathers. Only Caleb ben Yefunah and Yehoshua ben Nun will see the land, and your children will see the land, but you're not going it. So on this Pasuk, okay, Pasuk Lamed Daled, Vayishma Hashem es kol divreichem. God heard the voice of your words. Once again, we're talking about words. Vayiktov, he became angry, Vayishav Alimar, and he took an oath saying, you're not going in. So Rabbi Dr. Eben J. Twersky Zatzal says as follows. What is meant from Twersky and the Parsha? What is meant by the sound of your words? Vayishma Hashem es kol divreichem. Why isn't it just say Hashem heard your words? Vayishma Hashem es divreichem. Makes sense, right? Why does it have to say es kol divreichem? That seems redundant. Call is the sound or the voice, divreichem, of your words. Just tell me, God heard your words of Lashon Hara. Says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, what is meant by the sound of your words? Would it not have been sufficient to say, God heard your words? Moshe says, they took in their hands from the fruit of the land. He references earlier Pesukim, look. Moshe, when he relates a story, he says, Vayichu biyad mepriya aret, vayiridu elenu. They took from the fruit of the land. They brought it down to us. They brought us back. Vayishivu asanu davar. They brought us back word. Vayomu tova haaretz. Asher Hashem elkeinu nasenanu. They spoke positively about the land. It seems they brought fruit. Nachal eskol. Vayishivu asanu davar. They brought us back word. Vayomu. And they said, tova haaretz. The land is good that Hashem our God is giving us. Then the next pasuk says, v'lo avisam la'alos. V'tamros pi Hashem elkeichem. You didn't want to go up. And you rebelled them against the word your God. How do you put these two pasukim together? The first pasuk says they brought us back word. They said the land is very good. The second pasuk says, but you didn't want to go up and you rebelled against Hashem. What happened? I thought they reported a good report. This is the fruit. The land is very good. You don't want to go up. Why? The answer lies in Vayishma Hashem is called Divreichem Vayiktov Vayishav Alimar. Hashem heard the sound of your voice. And he became angry. He took an oath saying. So, if the report of the land and the fruits was so favorable, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, why does the very next pasuk say, you don't want to go, v'lo avisim la'alos, v'tamrus pi Hashem? Says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, the spoken word is different than the written word. The tone of voice can be sarcastic and give words the diametrically opposed meaning. When the spy said, tova ha'aretz, and they showed them the fruit, the land is good, it wasn't just the words, it was the tone of voice and the sound of their words. The sarcastic tone of their voice indicated the exact opposite of what they were actually saying. The spy showed the Israelites the beautiful fruit. We know from Parsha Shach, they brought a cluster of grapes, they brought a fig, they brought a rimon. But the inflection of this is the fruit conveyed the message, just look at the size of the fruit, gigantic people, they're invincible. I mean, Dr. Twersky has in parentheses that he's quoting from the Medrash. So you could say one thing, and you could mean something entirely different. In fact, you can mean the exact opposite of what you say. How is that possible? It's all based on the tone of voice, the inflection, and the sound of your words when it is said. This is what Moshe meant here. The words in and of themselves may have been good, but the sound of their words conveyed their true meaning. And that's why, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, the pasuk says, Vayishma Hashem es kol divreichem. If it would have just said, Hashem heard your words, so they said the fruit's very good, the land is very good. So how do you get to? V'lo avisam la'alos v'tamas pi Hashem elkeichem. If it's good and these are the fruits, how do you get to? We don't want to go up. Because we all know it to be true. The way you speak about another person, you all know it to be true. Or the way you're spoken about, it's not only about the words that we say, whether there's an actual blemish on the lip, i.e. if the words are poisoned or not. It's about the inflection and the tone of voice and the body language we use when we convey the words. And that in itself is so powerful, says Rabbi Dr. Drisky, that you might say one thing, and your inflection and tone of voice and body language gives it a meaning that is absolutely opposite of what the words themselves say. Now he quotes a Chafetz Chaim. We must be as careful of how we speak as well as of what we say. The Chafetz Chaim says, one can be in violation of Lashon Hara without uttering a single word. That's a direct quote from Rabbi Dr. Twersky. We must be as careful of how we speak and not only of what we say. The Chafetz Chaim says one can be in violation of Lashon Hara without uttering a single word. If at the mention of a person's name, the listener grimaces in any way that indicates disapproval, that person is automatically guilty of Lashon Hara. You haven't even said anything. Modern psychologists speak of the importance of body language, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky. Nonverbal communication may be even more effective than verbal communication. That's what he literally writes. We must be careful not to speak, he puts that in parentheses, in quotes, Lashon Hara with the body as well as with the tongue. And that's his pshat of Vayishma Hashem es kol divreichem vayiktzav v'yishav aleim bar. Hashem heard the voice of your words, the sound of your words, the tone of your words. And therefore he became angry. And he took an oath and he said, so we see the crucial element of not only the words that we speak, but the tone that we use to convey. And I must say that this can be applied to technology as well. You know, today there are so many different kinds of emojis. And those emojis tell a whole story. You could write on your text, she's a very nice person. And then you could do an emoji of rolling eyes. They have a rolling eyes emoji. And then you don't actually mean she's a very nice person. That's Vayishma Hashem es kol divreichem. So on the one hand, the words could say something, but the body language or the tone or the voice of your sound or the accompanying emoji that goes along with your text might actually be telling a totally different story. And this is what Hashem, of course, understood. That's what the Bnei Yisrael understood. And that's how the report of the spies was able to turn a whole nation against the Ribbono Shel Olam and Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. And you know, I cut this out of Mishpacha, and I put it in my Shemiras Lashon Sefer. It was from July 7th. So it wasn't this past week's Mishpacha, it was the week before. So I don't know if anyone saw Inside Talk. See, it says sarcasm. Yeah? I'm showing you on the screen. T-Z-A-R, so for those who are listening online, T-Z-A-R-C-A-S-M. Mishpacha apparently has inside, it's called Inside Talk. They don't have this so often, so it says to send your submissions for a uniquely from word to the moment at Mishpacha for a chance to win great prizes. But you could also teach somebody a good lesson. This is a very good lesson and relates exactly to what Rabbi Dr. Twersky understands from Vayishma Shabbos Kol Devrechem, and it's a strong Mr. Haskell for us. If you want to say she's a nice person, don't put a rolling eyes emoji or a grimace face or that angry emoji guy. Then the person understands that you don't really mean what you say. Inside Talk. In the spirit of the 3 weeks and the emphasis on being careful with the feelings of others, I'm quoting from Mishpacha, there's something about the words we use that often capture more than the plain dictionary definition. What's your uniquely from speak term that says it all? In the spirit of the 3 weeks, this morning is again, keep in mind, why did I choose to do this year? If you forgot, I hope no one did. This morning is still Yod Av, and until 1:01 p.m., the main part of the Beis HaMikdash, until Chatzos, burned not on Tisha B'Av. It was lit on fire towards evening on Tisha B'Av. It burned through Leil Yod Av and through the whole day of Yod Av. So it behooves us to contemplate why it was destroyed. And I hope that the sources I brought in the Chiddushim or Biderman, the way we looked at the words, pun intended, in Perek Av, Precious Devarim, when Moshe relates the sin of the spies, brought some new insights. Vayitzeneha emori lakraschem. Vayaku eschem kasher tasu hadevorim. You think that's an accident? Hashem just did that by mistake. He just stam chose Emori and Devorim, Emor and Dibor. And we gave a whole new pshat to the Rashi. Just like that Devora, kashi maka es adam miyad mesa. Is that not an exact definition of Lashon Hara? When your negative words strike a person, immediately there is death. Don't forget Rav Yitzchak Silberstein, because that too reminds us of the nature of galus. In the spirit of the 3 weeks and the emphasis on being careful with the feelings of others, this month's uniquely from word winner is sarcasm. T-Z-A-R-C-A-S-M. Hurting another person verbally by using sarcasm. I sometimes find Hashem puts my shirim together. I see a lot of siyata d'shmaya. I read this in Mishpacha. Last week I opened up Rabbi Dr. Tversky to prepare for a totally different shir. And I came across Vayishma Hashem is called Devrecha. So I put in a sticky right away. And the sticky says, what you can't see, Shmir Salashan. I left it on my desk for the full week. And I found out in Mishpacha, you don't only have to be careful with your words. It's not only about the Emori and the Dibur. It's also about the call Devrecha. It tells a whole story. This month's winner is sarcasm. Because it's the tsar you cause a person through your sarcasm. Hurting another person verbally by using sarcasm. Halavai, we should learn from Agadom, Nekarapam, Zatzal, who learned from his mother, Allah Hashem. When you have an eye in Tova, when there's no blemish in the white of the eye, there will not be a blemish on the lip either. It's a place where they don't consider it a blemish, but we do, says Rabbi Biderman. They think you can only kill with a sword. We know you can kill with words. Alavai, perhaps, when we rectify, Vaterganu ba'ol ha'lechem, Vaseiso senebiad ha'emori, Vashmidenu, you'll be zochet to the bias called tzadak, the geula shlema, and only then, kimitzion teise Torah udvar Hashem, mirushalayim. Should be speedily rebuilt, and in our days, we should share Besoros Tovos. We thank Alyssa Axelrod and her family very, very much for this continued share sponsorship. We should share Besoros Tovos and Yeshua's. It should be Halavai, Shabbos Nachamu for us and all of Klai Yisrael. Thank you so much. Kol Tov, everybody. All the best.